Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifieds, World of Outlaws, Arcas, it's all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, famed short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Here we go. 2 hours nonstop race talk. So glad you could tune in tonight. I'm Joe Chisholm. Along with Joe Chisholm Jr. right here in the RTR studio. What's going on, kiddo? Quite a race today in Texas.
It was a great race. I got a chance to watch all three races this weekend.
Yeah, you did.
There was no shortage of couch time this weekend. The snow fell again.
It did.
So
surprise.
we're gonna complain about that for a minute.
Okay.
But it's supposed to be spring. Get your poop in a group there, Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Outside of that, you know, we're closer to race season, so
could be worse. You could be Jeff Shaw, the Shaw family down south, come home today. They get home, and lo and behold, a fresh new blanket of snow greet them. And seeing Jeff's tweet, or maybe it was a Facebook post. That's what it was. He said, "Look at this. We come home. It was nice down there. We got snow." I said, "It's okay, brother. Don't worry. This stuff's on the way out. Summer is on the way in. It's all good.
Here's hoping."
Yeah.
It's snow is not my friend. I don't like it.
No,
but it's something that we got to deal with, I guess.
Well, we're only going to deal with it for another couple days, and then it's gone. The action tonight here on Race Time Radio is going to melt all of it. I can guarantee.
That's right.
Let me tell you who we got coming on
tonight. Who do we got tonight?
Okay. I'll start out with the number 29 in the APC series. Heard from him last year right around this time. We got Ryan Kimball going to come on this show. We'll talk to him about his plans for 2019.
Haven't talked to Ryan in quite a while. Last year, longtime late model competitor, partnered with Grossman and those guys over on the eastern portion of Ontario. Last year, I think that they had a lot of very bright spots in their APC Tour kind of debut, I guess, with the Fury car. They had a few very bright spots, but then they also had a few very dark spots. So I think that that team, the speed that they showed towards the end of the year was lights out.
Right.
They were rocket ship fast, and if they can show that kind of speed all year long, then I have to put them in championship contention for the APC championship. That being said, they need to fix a lot of stuff. So we're going to talk to Ryan Kimball, talk about what they've been doing over the off season, and kind of see where they're at, get a catch up. And I honestly feel like looking at everything that they've posted and talked about, they've went through everything with a fine tooth comb and they're re-racked and ready to go for blood. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they can put together this year, though, because the speed on the consistency side wasn't there, but when it did come, they were fast.
Oh yeah, they're rocking.
And I think back to Sobel, and I it's been a long time since I've seen a car get around that place that way. It's definitely pretty interesting. If you can get around Sobel, you can get around anywhere.
Well, Ryan is coming up here shortly. He's going to be our first guest, but we'll also speak tonight with a driver that is one of those crafty veterans in the Parts for Trucks Tour out on Canada's East Coast, the Zero Dexter Municipal Group Chevrolet. We have got Sean Turple coming on the show tonight. Looking forward to catching up with Sean. Always a great guest.
Absolutely. We always have a lot of fun with Turple, and there's obviously no introduction needed on that front. He's, by the sounds of it, they're re-racked and ready to go. And, we have talked about the iron that's coming out in the Pro Stock Tour, and I don't believe that they built a car last year. for the Zero car. I don't think it was a brand new piece. So it'll be interesting to catch up and see if Turple is going to be rolling out with a brand new hot rod. They always roll out with a good car. It's just if they're rolling out with a brand new piece or not. We'll get a chance to look behind the Iron Curtain and see what they got put together.
J.R. Fitzpatrick is going to follow Sean Turple. Well, at least on the show, he's going to follow him tonight. We'll catch up with J.R. Of course, the most recent APC champion. We're also going to have on the line at the exact same time, Junior, a guy that J.R. could be working with this year. We'll find out all the details tonight. Johnny Van Dorn is going to join us on the show. That's going to be interesting. We hear of Johnny's cars all the time. Johnny himself coming on.
I don't think we've ever had Johnny Van Dorn on Racetime Radio.
I don't think so.
Now, you may have interviewed him somewhere, but of course, Johnny Van Dorn is a guy that doesn't need any introduction. And you know what? I can honestly say I've never talked to him before. I've watched him race quite a few times. I've obviously seen tons of his equipment out on the racetrack making laps and usually towards the front or the top of the charts. So definitely, you know, Racetime Radio tries to get as many legends as possible, and I would put Johnny Van Dorn and the Van Dorn group in every bit of caliber of a Junior Hanley and those types of guys, you know. So
sure.
Johnny Van Dorn, I'm a big fan of the stuff that they've put out, and by the sounds of it, they're going to be guns a-blazing in the APC Tour. So we'll get kind of caught up on everything that's going to be coming down the pipeline.
Then a big weekend it was for tons of guys and girls that headed off to Richmond this past weekend. We had a pile of Canadians down there in competition. Tonight we're going to catch up with one of them, Kyle Reed, driver of the 42. I normally see Kyle out on Canada's East Coast in the Parts for Trucks Tour. He is in Fort Mac, Alberta. And he was in Richmond, Virginia this weekend, picked up a 7th place finish. We'll catch up with Kyle here tonight.
Of course, he just announced as well, everybody on the show tonight, other than Sean Turple,
right,
has announced that they're going to be in the Great Canadian Race, the Great Canadian
Short Track Nationals. Yep.
At Jukasa. So it'll be interesting. We're going to have to ask Turple about that. Why he hasn't filed an entry yet, number one, but he's the lone man out in this show.
Well, you never know. He could be coming. We'll find out tonight. But what do you say we get to the hotline, and let's kick off this 2 hours of fun with a true professional short track racer. We have Ryan Kimball on the hotline. Ryan, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. How is that 29 coming along? It's been a long off season.
Yeah, it's been a long off season. 29's coming along pretty good. We just about finished the Fury car. It's just getting wrapped right now. And the guys are working away on the other backup APC car right now. I just drove to Windsor this morning, picked up the motor, and they're working away right now.
Ryan, of course, you know, we touched on it kind of in the opening of the show here. You guys showed some amazing lights out speed towards the end of last year. Had some really good runs under your belt, but I don't think that it's bad to say you guys definitely had some stuff to work on heading into 2019. By the looks of it, you're kind of growing your footprint even a little bit more in the APC side with that backup car. Is that, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the super late that was sitting in the shop previously, or is that another new piece?
No, that's our old FLF car, GTA, Gram TA. It's pretty much redid it there in 2015, I believe it was, and ever since then, it's been a really good piece, and we feel it's going to be a pretty good backup APC car for us. The way it's going right now, it almost feels like you need two cars here. But no, we struggled really bad in 2018 there. It was a big learning curve for our team. It was really important to keep the spirits and up, but we changed a bunch of stuff. You know, really appreciate all the work Fury did with us, but Graham Tienes at GTA there basically took control and got us pointing in the right direction, and we came out pretty strong toward the end of the season, usually around top of the board or whatnot, and just didn't have any luck.
Ryan, kind of indicative of having a new car, right? Heading into the APC series, sometimes you know, a guy will come out with a brand new piece and it'll be a bullet right out of the box, but more often than not, when you do get a brand new car, there is a learning curve, and things are different. That's why you bought it.
Yeah, and we learned that the whole series, it was a learning curve for us, right, going to every little track, and we learned, you know, some stuff that bit us in the butt about wear and tear and stuff. We had a real good piece of Peterborough and was in second, and the clutch went, and just stuff that, you know, we didn't do as much maintenance before on, and but we started changing the clutch every second race, and, you know, we learned a lot, right? It was important to keep the spirits up of the guys. Everybody was down, you know, pointing fingers and whatnot, but, you know, it's important to keep everybody, their spirits going. So, yeah, we're hoping 2019 will be a lot better.
Ryan, looking at last season and you know, the bright spots when you were super fast, the important part is circling some things on the to-do list. What are some of the things that you worked on over the off season? Obviously, your preventative maintenance side a little bit, but is there anything more that you can say that you have improved upon heading into the season?
Oh, yeah, Graham took a real good notebook where we were strong, and Sabo, we had a really good piece. We're going to go down to Delaware and test, hopefully, and that's where I wasn't strong. I lacked Sunset. It was unfortunate. We just missed on the setup there, and usually that's where we thought we'd be pretty confident, and we just had no rear bite, but that was a learning curve, so we put that in the notebook. And, you know, thanks to Sean Grossman and SMG Motorsports, we basically tore the whole Fury car down and redid it, and it's pretty much brand new, and he devoted a lot of time and money into the FLF car, and it's a really nice piece. It's just as nice as the Fury car, so got a lot of confidence in that car, right? GTA's been on board on that car. He's pretty much done everything on it, so it's almost pretty much his own car, so I got a really good feeling that's going to be a strong car.
Pretty cool when the backup is as good as the primary. That's a good feeling heading into the season, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a good feeling, especially when that's the car Sean's going to be driving, right? I keep telling him to hop in the Fury car, but he says that's my car, but they're all his cars.
That's right. Whichever one's got the name above the door, though, it is yours.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
Ryan. We've talked about it a couple times on the show. The doubleheader weekend, it's something that not a lot of tours get a chance to do, but there's a doubleheader weekend at Sauble Speedway. We talked to Pertigo about it. We've talked to a couple other guys. And of course, we want to get your take because you're probably one of the furthest away guys that is going to be making the trip to that Sauble Speedway doubleheader. That's got to be weighing pretty heavily on the minds of the competitors. Coming down to the preventative side, there's a big undertaking of going back-to-back within 3 days or in 3 days. Talk a little bit about that. Are you excited about that?
Yeah, we're pretty excited about that, especially with how confident we were at Sabo. Like last year, you know, Sean had many nights of conversation of us going down there and trying to get a top 10, and Graham hit the setup right on the dot there. We unloaded, you know, I think we're third on top of the board and just kept wrenching away, and the thing was a rocket ship, and the thing was like lap 50 or 60. It just kept getting better and better, and, you know, I just couldn't get over how good the car was, and we had a right front go down. So if we get the same base set up in it, then I think it'll be a pretty good weekend for us.
We're with Ryan Kimball tonight. He will drive the number 29 in the APC series this summer. You can catch him all over Ontario. Ry, how's the crew shaping up? How's the sponsorship? You all set there?
Yeah, the crew's doing good. Same guys as last year, you know. It's real important to keep everybody's spirits up. We were all down last year, you know. And, but like I said, you know, I can't do this without SMG Motorsports, Sean Grossman. Not sure why he devotes so much time and money in towards this team. It's so thankful. You know, Roddy Cochran, always helping us out if we need. Dennis at AP. You know, my crew chief, GTA, he's been on board for probably 15 years and he's always stuck with me, you know, through the highs and lows. Graham Fletch, just, starting up a new design wrapping business, so he's doing a really good job. My buddy Nate, Dad, girlfriend Heather, Sean's whole family for the support for letting us do this. Magnus Transmission, Image Wraps, you know, all those guys. Without all those guys, you know, we just can't put it in the box and go have fun. But, you know, if it wasn't because of Sean, like, he's unbelievable. He's just a real good friend, and he just loves to be a part of this team.
Circle one race on the calendar, one event on the calendar where you're putting your flag in the ground and saying that's your best shot at a win. Where is it?
Well, I'd hate to say. I'm going to have to say it's Sabo, but it's so far away. I mean, we're hoping it's going to be Sunset so we can start off the season with a good note. But we're just going to go with, you know, strong top fives and get finishes, and we'll just go from there.
Yeah, put all of them on that calendar.
That's right.
You're going to do it right. I know that's why Sean's so much a part of your team. Collectively, you guys have got your poop in a group, man. It's going to be awesome to see how everything unfolds. What's the car going to look like? I haven't seen no photos. Last year, I remember seeing that black, beautiful machine. Now, it was all solid black at the time I seen it with a gold Chevrolet emblem on the front. But what's the car going to look like this year? Are you going to keep it close to the vest?
Everything's going to be real nice and clean. We put a white body on the Fury car, and then we put a black body on the FLF car. They're going to have both identical wraps on them. And, the Fury car is getting wrapped as we speak right now. The guys are working away at it. And, they'll look pretty clean.
Yeah, got to love it. You can stay up on social media. Of course, you guys are all part of that, right? How do fans stay up with you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat these days. It's important, you know, to keep everybody involved and show everybody what Sean Grossman lets us do.
And I just want you to relay a message for me over to Sean.
Yep.
You know, I seen him out on a boat, down in Miami enjoying the nice weather. So I called the Coast Guard on him and sent him over there.
Yeah.
So just so you know, if you could relay that message, it was me that disrupted his day because he kept rubbing it in our faces that it was warm down there.
Will do.
Yeah, and it was snowing up here.
That's right. That's
Grossman
right.
Grossman won't care, though. He'll just be laughing wherever he is.
That's right.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Good stuff. Are you going to hit the track, get any test time in before you guys go green?
Yep, and probably the next couple weeks. We're just setting the trailer out to get some maintenance done, and hopefully the two prolates will be done within a week, and we're going to concentrate. We just put the motor in Sean's Super last year, and that's going to be our main primary to concentrate on that car. Like, it's a brand-new Seneca car. Sean did really good at Sunset with it. We had bad luck right out of the box with two new cars, and we never actually got a handle on the setup with that car. Struggled at DeCassin, and just fought a motor issue, and it ended up being a little pinhole in the valve cover, and we took the motor out a few times, and everybody was pointing fingers at everybody and whose fault it was, and it was pretty frustrating for the team, right, because we're the guys working on the car trying to figure it out, and so I think we got that figured out. We ran Flamborough last year, and then we went to DeCassin. Thanks to Alex, and let us test, and I did about 30-40 laps in the car, and the motor seemed pretty strong, so I think we got the bugs out of her.
Talking about setup problems with that car, I only heard and seen it once, but it's pretty hard to land about 12,000 horsepower. It's just a little bit hard to do that.
Yeah, especially when there was about three-quarters of the oil coming out of it in the back.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That's right.
Incredible. Final question for you tonight, Ryan. We'll let you get back to work on all those cars. Short Track Nationals, the Canadian Short Track Nationals, Jukasa, coming up near the end of the season. What's the thoughts heading into that, baby? I bet you're licking your chops to get to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting the APC race done first and see what we have. We were pretty strong last year. I think we were top five or whatnot. And then just driver error myself, and I lost it coming out of four, and never put a front clip on in 15, 18 years, and I ended up putting one on the nicest race car I own. So felt terrible about it, but I believe we got a pretty good setup. We're going to work with Fury and Graham on that, and we'll, as long as Sean lets us go there, we'll hopefully be there.
Yeah, you can bet all the premier builders are going to be at that, baby. And that's what happens, right, at Jukasa. Most racetracks, you take a fender off, maybe a control arm, a shock. But at Jukasa, man, a little mistake can cost you huge.
Yeah, that is it. I think I took all of it off.
Incredible. We really appreciate your time tonight on Race Time. And we look forward to seeing you this summer, man. The APC Series is going to be where it's at here in Ontario.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, guys.
You bet. That is Ryan Kimball. He is going to be one of those guys, Junior. The talent level in this series continues to go up, and the guys that have been there for the last few years, the knowledge that they're picking up, is an invaluable. It's going to be incredible this year.
100%. And, you know, it is worth its weight in gold, even though he struggled, you know, towards the middle portion of the year last year. That notebook, like he said, gets thicker and thicker, and you learn from every little tweak that you do to a race car. And, you know, looking at, we talked to Matt Pertigo last week, obviously. Yep. And he was a guy that he has to go and find little things to be a championship contender, right? He was right. Very fast. He was up at the front consistently, ran good all season long. Sometimes those little things are harder to find because you're not throwing the sink at it.
Right.
And not saying that those guys, but you heard it. He rebuilt the race car.
Yeah.
It's new from the back to the front. When you do that, you're changing it with purpose, right? And you're not just going through and fixing something that's not broke. You're fixing something that is, you know, with intention of getting better. So when you look at a guy like Pritigo, it's harder to find those little minute things to crest that top. But more often than not, if you struggle with a brand new car and you think about it during the off season, the next season you're going to come out really strong. So it's going to be interesting to see what Kimble and those guys can do. I've got now 10 cars that can go out and win this championship. There's still more guys to talk about, and there's still more guys to talk to. So it's going to be really interesting. There's a lot of iron rolling out of this Ontario late model series.
Keys that I take away from Ryan Kimble there. The new car, all those woes are behind them.
Yep.
He's going to improve on it. The same crew. How important is that to have the same crew, the chemistry, all of that, and head into a season? More often than not, you're going to pick up where you left off and advance on it. Sounds like Ryan Kimble's going to be one of those guys.
100%. And he touched on the change in the clip portion. That was a big wreck down at Jucasa.
And
he's lucky it wasn't even bigger because it was right in the middle of the entire field. But, you know, sometimes when you knock a clip off, you can find some things. And if you notice, kind of right after that moment is when they turned a big corner. So it's definitely interesting. And, you know, sometimes if you've got a brand new, real shiny car, you can't really drive it hard until it's got a mark or two.
Until it's got a mark, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
If you've got a really shiny car and you're running around mid-pack, go out there, put some donuts on it, and I guarantee you, they're worth 3/10 a piece.
Well, we're going to hit a break. When we come back, we got Sean Turple all the way out in Halifax going to join us. Actually, Enfield. We'll get it correct. But he is out there, we are here, and he's going to join us. Stay with us.
Hi, race fans. I'm Al Bakke from the Saskatoon Stock Car Racing Association. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
I know when to go out. I know when to stay in. Get things done.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks. MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Alexa, play NASCAR radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win!
It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR radio, channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances.
USA.
Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJ DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Race time radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
It's Race Time Radio.
And we are back with you live tonight on Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in and take some time out of your day to join us here on Race Time Radio. Let's get back to the hotline and let's welcome in, how about a multi-champion in the Parts for Trucks Tour? He drives the number zero for the Dexter Municipal Group, Dexter Construction Municipal Group. Sean Turple's with us. What's going on there, Mr. Sean? How you doing, bud?
Good. How are you doing?
Fantastic. So glad, man, that winter's almost, I mean almost done. And it's just about time to pull those cars out and get them on track. You been keeping Bubba busy over the winter or what?
I've been giving Bubba a little bit of time off this winter, but me and Stevie have been busy at the cars. We still got some work to do. We're putting a new car together at home, so we got to get out of here.
Another one, Junior. Add another one to the list.
These
another new
stock,
car.
These pro stock guys, you know, just when you think there's not a whole lot of new hardware coming out, there's a whole lot of new hardware coming out.
Build a new one every year.
Big changes, Sean, with the new car this year? Any big changes, or are they just little subtle changes?
Yeah, it's a totally different car. It's another Jeff Taylor distance car, but it's his newest design that a lot of the guys have been having success with in New England, and Cole Butcher ran one most of last year, so we're going to try one to start this year as well.
Yeah, the only thing I heard Cole complain about wasn't the chassis so much, but he had trouble with brakes.
He's too hard on them, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
Just don't use any, right?
Well, you got to look after your stuff. No, I don't know as far as his brake problems. I don't know if he runs a bit different pad. He attacks hard as well as everybody else, but if you lose the brakes, you're kind of sitting duck, I guess.
Sean, we talk about it basically every single year leading into the season. These are all preview shows getting ready for 2019. And I touched on it a few weeks back that there was only five or six that were on the radar with brand new cars. And now the count is up to nine on the Pro Stock Tour. So it's looking that it's basically equal on both sides. What do you attribute that to? Do you attribute that to mainly success in the series and kind of stability in the series, or do you attribute it just to technology growing at a faster rate? Because it seems like over the past three seasons, there used to be 2 and 3 and 4 year old cars sitting in victory lane consistently. Now it seems like all the fast teams are building new cars on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of, not current, but a lot of technology was kind of at the same level there for 5 or 6 years. And then in the last 2 years, specifically with like Van Dorn's cars, Dylan having one of those, and Jeff Taylor's cars continuing to get faster and faster. Even if it seems like you're competitive on the track, you're just so inclined to get a new bullet when you hear everybody else's arming up too. I don't know the specific reason. I mean, I know it is a lot of the well-funded teams, the guys that can afford to get new cars are doing so. I'm hoping we'll be on par with everybody else, or at least not too far behind out of the gate trying to get the new car figured out.
Absolutely.
Well, you guys have been amazing, Sean. I've seen you do it in a real old car, like 2-year-old car, and I've seen I've seen you do it in a brand new piece. It's going to be in another amazing season. You going to get any test time in? I've been asking everybody. Yeah, how about you? You going to get any test time in before we go green?
Oh yeah. Got to at least get out and shake the car down. Whether that'll be at Halifax or possibly at the Petty Open Test to the week before the first race there. Which we're doing again this year, the May 18th in Petty to open the season, which is not as favorable for us where Scotia is right in my backyard. It's always nice being there for the first race, but Petty will be good nonetheless. Hopefully we'll get up there to shake it down beforehand.
Are they similar at all between Petty and Scotia's Speed World? I've seen the Speed World a million times, haven't seen Petty. Can you learn anything at one that will really help you at the other?
Not straight up. Certainly what the car likes as far as adjustments will relate one to the other, but as far as the baseline setup, they're probably different enough with this new car that it's not going to be, go to Scotia and then just go right to Petty if that's how it worked out. You'd have to do some setup changes.
So. Right. Changes? Any gear changes in between the two tracks, or is the same gear setup?
He's not going to tell you that.
Sure he is.
You take probably 12 or 15 points of gear out when you go to Petty. It's a bit more higher banked, and you just carry a bit more momentum down the back straightaway there, so you got to take some gear out of it.
Everybody knows that you mean 30 points, whatever.
He would tell me.
That was with the big motor. With the big motor, you should take a lot of gear out for there because it was so hard to get a hold of tire-wise with the big motor. But now that we're going to the crate, we don't have to numb it up as much on the gear. We're trying to get everything we can, I guess.
And you were one of those guys that would switch, right? You would switch from the big motor into the crate motor. Those days are over. Are you going to stay all crate now?
Actually, we were always only big motor until the Cat 250 last year. We put the crate in, and we stayed with that for the rest of last year, so we didn't do any switching back and forth.
Oh, I thought you were one of those guys. I know Donald Chisholm would play, back and forth, and I had you in that column. I didn't know whether you had the big motor or not.
No, we only had big motors. We still have 3 R&D motors that there's nothing wrong with them. We just, felt we were giving up a little bit on long runs and some of those tracks that don't have the grip. It's just hard to keep the back tires on the big motor cars.
Yeah, and you want them, right? You guys are used to running longer distance races. 150's the minimum distance for a race. Heading up into the 250s, 200s, 150s, longer races, you got to keep the car under you for the end.
Yeah, and with our tire deal, from the third race of the season on, we're only on 2 new tires a week, which it's the same for everybody. It's fair, but left sides, you give up on left sides every week, with the exception of the 250s where we have lots of tires for those races. But the 150s, we kind of get behind on left sides, and so you're running on older and older tires every week. So that definitely plays into it.
Sean, it seems like both series are doing something a little bit different. The APC Tour, of course, in Ontario, doing a big doubleheader weekend at Sauble Speedway, with only one day separating the 2 points races. And as well this year, a big change. There's a triple 50 slotted at Riverside for this season, which is a much different format than we've seen in the past. Have you been involved with any triple 50s? And I don't know the rules package specifically for that. Is it 3 separate points races, or is it an average over the one?
From what I read, I don't think they have everything finalized, but it looks like wherever you are at the end of the third 50, the end of the 150 laps is going to be your finishing position.
Okay.
But don't hold me to that. I'm certainly not laying down the rules for it, but they're talking about a redraw after the first 50 and after the second 50.
Okay.
Sort of a roll of the dice, so random number of invert possibly. I think that's something the sponsor and the track and the tour are considering.
Yeah.
But it should be pretty interesting nonetheless. Get a little break, make an adjustment that you wouldn't normally have an opportunity to do in our races, and should be exciting.
It's going to fit you like a glove. watching Sean Turple at Riverside, You're amazing to watch on that track. You're either in victory lane or not too far from it, but on short runs, it was, at the back. I've seen you back there, too. But real fast on those short runs, you put 350s together, you're going to be a tough cat to beat.
Yeah, we'll see. The closest thing we did to that was in 2014, we ran the Mike Stevens Memorial Race in Petty. And I think it was a 75, and then we had a break, and they ran a couple other features, and then we lined back up for the second 75, and we were able to make some adjustments, some shock stuff, swap the back tires to the front, which helped with the big motor, and ended up in victory lane. But the triple 50s will certainly be different. We've had our struggles at Antigonish. It's probably the track we struggle at more than any other right now, even though we won there one race last year, but just struggled to find the handle the other two races. So hopefully this new car will give us some new life there.
How's Cassie making out? Your spotter, the lady that keeps that team all glued together. How's Cassie making out, and how is the crew shaping up for this year?
Cassie's making out really good. You know, she's always a strong driving force for me, and great help at the track and away from the track, of course, helping out with the kids. It's not a one-man or even a three- or four-man adventure. Crew-wise, I don't know how that's going to pan out this year. Colby Smith has moved to Cape Sable Island. I don't expect to see him around quite as much this year, just it's so far from his host. So we may be looking to pick up one or two guys as long as, you know, things go all right and we have our couple guys returning. We should be in good shape.
Yeah, always interesting. you guys are busy cats, I can tell you. Watching you in the pits is amazing. You head out, you come back in, car goes up and there's an army on it.
Yeah, it's without those guys, I couldn't do what I do. You know, they do all the adjustments we call for and feedback and, you know, go through the car with a fine-toothed comb, practice to practice and get everything ready. And it's you know, definitely a team sport for sure.
We definitely get asked, you know, on a consistent basis, how do I get involved with a team or how do I, you know, inject myself into being a pit crew member or a crew member on a team? How would somebody go about getting a hold of you if somebody in the Maritimes is interested in helping you and growing within the sport?
Oh, it's you know, it's so easy nowadays with social media. Everybody is on Facebook or Twitter. Primarily, I'm a Facebook user, so somebody could just direct message me or just in general. That's a great way to get a hold of, touch base with a person if somebody's thinking of getting involved. You know, it's not to say that they're just going to say, okay, come on over, but they may,
right,
may invite you to an open practice or, you know, tell you to come out and get your feet wet and hang around a little bit and get used to the cars. Or if you already have quite a bit of experience, you know, it may just be we'll show up at the track and you're hired, you know.
Yeah.
Not that the pay is very good, you know. People, you know, pay your way into the track and feed you, sort of deal is kind of how most teams, I believe, in the Maritimes works. But takes a real love for the sport from the crew members as well.
And if you win, the beer better be free.
Better bet some free beer as well, for sure.
The beer better be free if you win. Only if you win, though.
Well,
that's
only
the
if you win,
the incentive. The beer doesn't have to be free if you come home with the top five. The beer has to be free if you win, though.
It's part of the rules.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, yeah. It's in the contract.
Amazing. I can't wait till we hit the track, Sean. It's going to be awesome. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but it sounds like you're more excited this year than you were over the last couple of years to get back to the track.
100%, and I was going to say the exact same thing.
I'm always excited to get back to the track. Really looking forward to it. I don't know if I'm any more pumped up this year or not, but I'm very excited.
Well, Thomas is getting older. He's got to be starting to play more of a major role on that team. I can guarantee it.
Yeah, we'll get him some tires this year and probably get him a little more involved. And Rose will be three come the first race in May, or the week after the first race. So maybe we'll have to get her doing some stuff too.
Yeah, put her in a sportsman car.
Amazing. Sean, we got to thank you for your time tonight, buddy. We sure do appreciate it.
Yeah, nice talking to you guys, and I'll be talking to you soon. Thanks.
Absolutely. That's Sean Turple, driver of the Zero. For Stevie Henderson, what a group of guys. He is a true short track professional. Watch him go.
The number nothing.
the number nothing.
Yeah, that's definitely pretty cool. And, you know, I was going to say the exact same, like echoing. That was my next point.
It was
going
it?
To be, you sound more excited now than you ever have on the show. Really, like, you know, we've heard him definitely excited in Victory Lane and talking to him after a win. And definitely always a very happy camper. Sean Turple is a class act and always very happy. But the excitement level, you know, you could hear it. He's got a big smile on his face heading into the season and you know, building a new car. There's a lot of momentum there. And obviously, I think he's got to be getting a little bit sick. There was a few years there where he was, you know, King Tut. And when you look at the speed that Dylan Blankhorn and Cole Butcher have had consistently every single week in, week out, they're going to be swinging.
Sure, they are.
You know, it's definitely going to be interesting. And, you know, a couple of Wiley veterans, of course, Sean Turple and we had Craig Slonwhite on a few weeks ago, both of them sounding more excited than normal, you know?
Yeah.
So it's definitely there's no excitement level that we can turn up on the phone. You could just hear it.
That's right. You got to look at guys, too. And I reached out. That'd be close. Trying to get a hold of Darren McKinnon.
Yep.
Invited him on the show here a couple of weeks ago, but he was tied up. So we got to reach back out to him and get him on the show. I'm pretty sure he's another guy that's got another brand new car.
Really?
Yeah, I believe so. If not, I can tell you, they totally redid the 18 that they had there last year. He's another one that's incredibly fast, can win races at the drop of a hat, and he's going to be another one we got to get on the show to preview.
You know who we haven't had on the show is Dylan Gosby. We haven't had him on for a long time. That is another name that we definitely, you know, we have him on every single year leading into the season. And we're clicking days off here before the season starts.
No kidding.
But we'll definitely need to get talking to Gosby as well.
I can tell you he has a brand new car. He does have a brand new car.
No kidding.
That will debut this year in the Parts for Trucks Tour. So many of them. We got lots more to come. We're going to hit this break, Junior. When we come back, we got a little bit to do, and then we're going to get J.R. Fitzpatrick on the hotline. All of that and more. Johnny Van Dorn's coming up. And, oh, by the way, Kyle Reed is going to drop on by. He'll be at the Toronto airport in between heading from Richmond back into Toronto and then out to Alberta. But we're going to catch him on his layover in hour number two. Lots to come. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans. This is Jeff Wilcox. Racetime Radio will be right back.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks. Canada Talks.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
The NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your Victory Lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win.
It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on SiriusXM 167. Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. Maybe, just maybe, you are tuned in live on SiriusXM Channel 167. Hello to you. Or maybe you're tuned in through the week on the Performance Motorsport Network.com or Gearhead Country Radio or how about XFM 98.9 XFM in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Got to say hello to everyone, however you're tuned in. And if you happen to have missed any of the show or you want to go back and have a listen to the full broadcast, you can do that. Just get to iTunes and search Racetime Radio. When you get there, hit subscribe. And then every time we do a brand new Racetime Radio, zing, it goes right to you. Gotta love technology.
You gotta. We're gonna also, we're in the development stages right now of a chip that you can implant into your brain. So you just get RTR just and you think. can hear everything that we think. So
yeah.
Basically, if you can't figure out how to get Racetime Radio now, it's you're one of those ones that were left behind.
You're in tough shape.
I do got to give a big shout out here.
Okay.
Of course, the U.S. Legend Cars and INEX had their big weekend coinciding with the Texas weekend.
Yep.
Austin McDonald was the Young Lion champ.
How about that?
Down there.
Yep.
And then as well, Nick Ledson, of course, of the Ontario Legends cars here, he was the pro champ. So,
did he? Good for him.
Definitely a pat on the back to both of them and definitely interesting. I have to give a massive shout out to Kent Corbett for sending that over to
us. For sending that out. We did see that. Thanks, Kent. Want to let you know now, how about announcement time? Here we go. Live races, anybody that's listened to Racetime Radio historically, you hear us on Sunday night, every Sunday night right here. But you'll also hear us do live flag-to-flag broadcasts. You'll hear Jerry Paxton, Josh Paxton, Brad Mann, myself, Tim Terry has jumped in with us. We've had a number of guys come in, but our core group is Brad, Josh, Jerry, myself, and we have got more live races to do in 2019. Want to tell you now, here are the dates so far, and I might add, there could be more added to this schedule. It is, we've got a few more irons in the fire, so to speak, and we expect some of those will be fruitful, and we'll have more live races on Racetime Radio than we've had for a long, long time. But things are going to kick off on Saturday, June the 1st. We will come to you live from Scotia Speed World. It is a 150-lap race. I don't believe all of the titles are on each of these races yet, but I know they're being worked on. So I can tell you, though, Saturday, June 1st is race number one. Saturday, June the 8th, we will be live from Riverside International Speedway for those triple 50s. Then we come back to you again on, let me see here, Saturday, June the 22nd, another 150, this one from Scotia Speed World. We will head back out to the East Coast on July the 20th weekend. It is the IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis. You don't want to miss that event. If you can't be at the racetrack, know that we will have live flag-to-flag coverage of the IWK 250 again this year. Then Saturday, August the 10th, it is the Tormont Cat 250 from Scotia Speed World. We will have live flag-to-flag coverage of that event. Then Saturday, September the 7th, it is a 150 from Riverside International Speedway. And then the season finale back at Scotia Speed World on Saturday, September the 14th. So far, we have seven spectacular live races to do. In the Parts for Trucks Tour, you will have pre-race, post-race, and, of course, the full races live flag to flag. So we're looking forward to doing those seven. And we do have some irons in the fire, as mentioned. We hope to expand our live series, our live schedule, to include more races. And as we do, we will keep you informed.
Definitely. We got to get some here in Ontario as well.
That would be great.
It's got to definitely
that
happen.
That would be great.
Yep, 100%.
We would love to do some live
100%.
Races here.
Yep.
And it's all possible.
Yep.
We'll see what happens this year.
Definitely.
Yeah. I also want to let you know, too, MAV TV Canada and Racetime Radio have linked up. We've got a partnership put together, and we'll be working together to get all the race fans in Canada exactly what we all want, and that's more race coverage. So make sure you check out MAV TV Canada. Sign up. Get that channel on your lineup, and you'll enjoy it. I can guarantee it. If you love racing, MAV TV Canada is where you want to be. And we're going to hear from Mike Garrow from MAV TV Canada. He's going to join us on the show here in the next couple of weeks with some big news. So look forward to that as well. But get to MAV TV Canada.
Yes. Get over there.
You've seen
it. There's lots of cool stuff on MAV TV Canada.
We got it.
100%. I love watching, you know, they've got so many cool, you know, when you look at where coverage of motorsports used to be, right? You look at TNN and you look at Speed Vision, where those channels used to be back in the day. You used to have cool races like the, you know, the Tucson Showdown, you know, the Winter Heat series.
Yeah.
That was on ESPN and TNN for years. And, you know, the cool races across the board, when you flip on, it doesn't matter what time of day. It seems like every time I flip on the TV, I have to go to MAV TV because it's got, you know, dirt races. It's got, you know, USAC legend card or USAC, you know, midget races, or it's got dirt late models. Or whatever.
Oh, how
it's
about
got,
the Arca
it's
Menard
got Arca
series.
Menard series
live.
And just awesome stuff and you know, wicked coverage and they're growing every single day and they're adding really cool stuff and taking a bunch of leaps on the Canadian side too. So you know, we're racers. If you don't want to go through the dark days and not having that stuff anymore, you better sign up and get MAV TV because you know, it's out there now. It's available. You can't say that it's not.
Well, if you were at Motorama, you'll know that MAV TV was there, and they were doing a bunch of filming. So
yes.
I can well imagine we're going to see some of that throughout the course of time here. They're going to be putting stuff together. And I know from speaking with Mike Garrow, they are actively working to get Canadian racing on television.
Yes.
So that's all positive stuff, man. I can't wait to see what happens. And the future is definitely looking bright for Canadian race fans. We're finally going to have something that all of us can stick our flag in. And it's available on Shaw Direct. And if you get to MAV TV Canada and have a look, there's announcements on there all the time with different cable networks and different stuff that they're adding.
Yep.
So it is going to be available. If it's not available in your area for what you've got set up, whatever that cable network is or what have you, then contact your cable supplier and say, hey, I want MAV TV.
That's right.
Contact them. Let them know that you want it. But I can tell you right now, MAV TV Canada has really done a good job. It took them a while to get seated in, but the fruits of their labors are all coming now. It's great. I can tell you, we have MAV TV here at our place, and that's one of the go-to channels.
It is.
Well, Monday to Friday, Monday through the weekend, you can always pick up anything racing on it.
Definitely, and hats off to everything that they do. Looking forward, to this season. When I look at some of the races that are coming down the pipe for this year, there are some spectacular races that are forming up, and it's not just the long standing tour races. There's some really cool events that are popping up. You look at what Grant Enfinger was talking about the other day, the last time we had him on. They're going to have all the Thor Sport guys come up, and they're going to run, at the IMCA weekend, at the IMSA weekend, WeatherTech weekend at Mossport in those Promatic Fords. So that's cool. You get a chance to, get a preview of those guys. By the sounds of it, they're going to have a bunch of truck guys again in the road course race at Mossport in the Pinty Series for race number one for the Pinty Series. You've got guys like Kenny Schrader. You've got Kenny Wallace coming up here, going to be racing. Kenny Wallace is, of course, going to be back at the IWK 250. An incredible season lined up for 2019.
Yeah, and July, Kenny Wallace is going to be in the APC Series at UCASA.
Absolutely.
I think that's July 27th, I believe.
Yes, definitely.
It's going to be off the hook.
Yeah, and it just keeps on adding, and it seems like it's on a daily basis. We're getting really cool releases of cool stuff coming down the line, and that's something to be excited for.
Well, you want to get to your local short track, wherever it may be. Check them out online. Everything at this time of the year, schedules will be up there. I know there is some mall displays happening. Just posted one today for Humberstone. They got a big mall set up. Looks cool. Where you can get out and see some of the stuff preseason. And, of course, May's usually the month. May, definitely June. Everything is fired up. So get to your local short track, check them out online, and you'll be up to date on when things are going to be happening. And like you say, Junior, it doesn't necessarily have to be a big tour event. There's a lot of cool shows happening at the short tracks right across Canada.
Yes, absolutely. And, while we're on that topic, we have to give a big shout out to Fans Choice TV. We've had a chance to watch a couple of the K&N shows. This past weekend, what a finish. If you haven't seen it yet, get on Twitter, get on Facebook. It's all over the place. But Huddleston and Gray put on a clinic at the end of that race. In years past, you would have had to wait a week to see any sort of coverage.
Right.
You were able to watch that live on Fans Choice. So, and same thing with the modifieds, for the modified tour events. Of course, those are live as well on Fans Choice. But we have to give a big shout out to them. And just as a reminder, you got to get on there. When a K&N race is on, get on there and watch it, because there's some really good racing taking place.
Yeah, absolutely. They're right off the hook. Those guys are getting after it. Lap after lap, you have no time where you can sit back and ride, right?
That's right. No, you got a short race. If you're the type of person to say, well, I don't like the long green flag stretched out runs in a NASCAR Cup race, well, then you're the type of person that really likes watching short track racing.
Yeah.
And when you get a chance to watch a 100-lap or a 200-lap race, even 100 and 125-lap race, get on Fans Choice and watch some of these shorter but intense races.
Well, we're going to throw it back to the Toronto studio right now, and we're going to get you up to date. They got a quick news package there. Only takes like 90 seconds, and then Junior and I will be back for hour number two. J.R. Fitzpatrick, Johnny Van Dorn, and how about Kyle Reed? All of them coming up in hour number two, which is going to begin in like 90 seconds. Stay with us.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on, come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up, left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off too!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins. See, that was painless, wasn't it, Junior?
What was?
You didn't feel a thing.
I didn't feel a thing at all.
Absolutely not. The big weekend at Texas Motor Speedway. And just before we get too far down the road here, let's hear from Kyle Busch. Of course, he won Friday night in the truck race. He won Saturday's Xfinity race, and you watch both those, Joe. Kyle had a really, really good final pit stop in that Xfinity race.
Yeah, 100% he did, and just a phenomenal showing of speed out of that 18 car, but not all day. He didn't have the speed
no?
all day.
No, he didn't.
He had the speed towards the end, and that's when it mattered.
Well, that final pit stop really sealed the deal for Kyle. Here's what he had to say in the media center afterwards.
Sure. Just run your pit road speed and come on down, get into your box, and we only did fuel. So it was relatively quick. The guys obviously didn't have a whole lot to do, just getting the fuel engaged and being able to then get out of the box and not stall it or anything like that. So we were racing the two there on exit. I knew we were kind of close to them, and thankfully we were able to beat them out, to be in control of the restart. That's what won us the race, was just being first and being in control of the restart. I could go when I wanted to, and I got a good launch and was able to get single file before we got to turn one, and that was the best thing for us all day. Every time I had people alongside of me on my sides, they were side drafting me and everything else that I just could never get away. And once I was free and away from cars, I could make ground and pass people back and go back towards the front. So it was just kind of aggravating sometimes for me. But overall, pit road was good.
Look at the terror this guy has been on, right? Kyle, he had a great car today, too. That Interstate Batteries car was looking really, really good.
Something happened to that car.
When it went up the hill, something happened.
It went up the hill, stuff can move around on you, and stuff can not necessarily break but not be catastrophic. Something definitely went away on that car. He was the speed that 18 car had from the beginning of the race to the point where he pushed up. I guess it was about 50 to go or just under that.
Yeah.
But the speed that he had up until that point, and then obviously drove it into the fence a little bit and kind of lost all time. But today was definitely a race of track position. And once he gave that up, it was over. Just on a tear, man. The guy's 203 now and shooting for 204.
Now, he has got, only one more truck race that he can run, and then he's out of the truck. He can't run anymore due to the NASCAR rules, right?
Yep.
And what's he got Xfinity-wise?
I think he's got three more Xfinity races.
Three more?
I don't know. Two or three. Yeah,
something like that. Yep. And then he's going to have to concentrate just on the Cup Series.
Poor guy.
Yeah, imagine that. He's going to wonder what to do with all the free time he's got.
Yeah, definitely. It's tough, it's a byproduct, but I bet you're going to see him show up in like a super late model or something somewhere.
Oh, I would almost guarantee it when he's got some time on his hands.
Hell yeah, bring the Stacker boys, let's go racing.
He wants to get behind the wheel, but it's been incredible to watch. The
winning's not over.
Oh no,
the winning's not over just because he's out of the Xfinity of trucks. I firm believer that he would have won today if it didn't happen the way that it did. But, you know, rolling into Bristol, of course, the guy has went, you know, he's done the three-peat twice there. So it's going to happen again at some point. And, you know, with the momentum that he's got right now, it will be very interesting to see how fast those cars are going to get around Bristol with this package. I think that they're going to be just scorching around that place this year, and it'll be interesting as well what they're going to do with the traction compound, if they're going to put that PJ1 back down on Bristol. It'll be really cool to see what's going to transpire this weekend.
I kind of thought Jimmy Johnson was I thought this was going to be a JJ day.
He had the speed.
really did. I just had that feeling. He had the pull, way he goes there, and really had a stage one. I know Joey Logano won stage one, but Joey didn't get that lead until about five to go.
Exactly.
I would say. And when you look at the pit stops, Joey Logano was pitted behind Jimmy Johnson, but Jimmy just couldn't get any bite off the out of his pit box.
Yep.
And that's where Joey got him, was right there at the line.
And then he just continually fell back. It seemed like he needed the track position, needed the clean air to maintain. But he was still, you know, the speed that the Hendrick camp showed this weekend, they turned a big corner out of that camp. And I know that qualifying was a jumbled up mess. And there was a bunch of fast cars that never got a chance to get a good lap in qualifying because of the mess. But still, all weekend, the 48, the 9, and the 24. 88's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, yep.
You know, that's not a good sign for Alex Bowman for those other three to show such speed all weekend. You can't say much about Gibbs right now. Those guys are definitely on point.
Great day for Clint Bowyer. Ended up finishing second. Jimmy Johnson with a top five, so it was a good day for Jimmy.
It was.
I was surprised as well to see how well Michael McDowell was running in that 34 car. He was up there for a lot of the day.
He was, for sure. And this package really suits him. He's a momentum guy, and you know, he's a guy that really understands the air very well. You know, he's a very good plate racer. And this racing is not plate racing by any stretch.
No, but it's a little closer.
But you have to use the draft in order to gain track position in any way, shape, or form. So not surprising to me that he has, you know, he was definitely the class of the front row motorsports team at Texas. But it'll be really interesting to see what they can put together as the season progresses. A couple of guys that kind of stood out to me you know, ran a little better than normal,
right,
is that 17 and the 6 from the Roush camp. They ran a whale of a race, and Stenhouse ran into a little bit of trouble at the end, sped on pit road, or had a tire. He had a penalty on pit road anyways, but they were inside the top 10 all day.
Ryan Newman had failed tech twice going through on the weekend.
Yeah.
His crew chief got bounced, ejected.
Yep.
Yeah, they weren't putting up with that anymore.
Exactly.
So I don't know what they were doing. I don't know what he got pinched for, but
it's if you
definitely
fail,
got
if,
under NASCAR's
well, if you
under
fail,
their skin.
If you fail inspection twice, you're automatically going to lose a guy. So, and it's been happening consistently over the last couple of weeks. You know, we've seen Larson lose a guy, and a few weeks back there was a couple others as well. But it's to make the line go faster, make sure you roll in with a straight piece, and you know, not fail tech.
Qualifying on Friday, that was quite a mess. There's no doubt lots of jumpy guys, especially like Clint Bowyer. He was definitely jumpy. You've probably seen his interview or heard about it. At that time, I threw out a little bit of a poll.
Yep.
Wanted to know, what do you think? Should single lap qualifying come back in for NASCAR, or are you liking what you see? And 83%. Now, it wasn't the biggest poll, but there was still lots of responses. 83% said, give us back single lap qualifying. How about you?
I don't think that it matters as much, you know, if it's single car or if it's not single car. To me, the games that are being played are definitely a byproduct of what is happening with the product on track. I don't single car qualifying is what it is. I don't mind it.
Yeah.
To sit back and watch 2 hours of single car qualifying today is a little bit boring and a little bit much to ask
for. It doesn't take 2 hours. To run through 40 cars doing two laps.
I mean, you get onto a bigger track and it can though, right? Like it can take quite a while. It can drag on pretty far.
I like it. Daytona, Talladega, single lap qualifying there. I love it.
Here's some of the most exciting qualifying that I've ever seen or been a part of.
Right.
That's group qualifying in the Pinty series. I know the ARCA series does this as well.
Right.
Divide them up into groups based on the speeds in practice. I mean, they have the formula for it.
Right.
Divide it up. I know that the drafting comes into play, but if there's only six of you and you got to roll, as soon as your group they show the green, roll, and the six cars go. It's really exciting. There's going to be, you can space out if you want, or you can draft if you want, but you got to roll out on the racetrack. You're going to see some messed up stuff. Guys will try to screw each other up.
Right.
But it's not a jumbled mess.
Right.
You know, the group qualifying setup that they have at a road course for the Pinty series, top notch qualifying. And it's exciting.
It's exciting to watch.
It is exciting. You know, when you look at what they have in the Pinty series, at Trois-Rivières, when they show up there, when they show up at Mossport or Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, you know, six cars go at a time. You know, it's the slowest to the fastest. So
right.
The back six cars roll first, the next six, all the way through the field. When you get down to the fast group, you know, they were the fastest in practice.
Yeah.
They're going to be fastest on the board or right up near the top, but there's always some surprises in there. You know, there's always a guy from the group, the second group or maybe the third group that go out there and lay down a lap and make it through. But that is a formula that I can get behind that I think would stop this mess. But
it's got to be stopped. That's for sure.
The mess is gone. And NASCAR is definitely going to put their foot down and say no more of that.
Well, if I had my vote, I'd go back to single lap qualifying. That's the fairest way. No one can mess you up. Away you go. Put down what you got, and let's get the fastest guy.
Yeah.
It is the fairest way to go.
100%, it is the fairest way.
Is it the most entertaining? Probably not.
In today's market, anything that you put out there, I don't care if you're the local short track with your four cylinders on the racetrack or if you're the NASCAR Cup Series staging for the Daytona 500, what you put on the track better be the most exciting thing that you can possibly make happen. Otherwise, you're pissing in the wind.
Well, it's not like people are buying, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands of tickets to go watch qualifying. It's not.
There's a reason for it.
Well, I know.
There's a reason for it.
But they're going to be out for the race. That's when you want them there.
Well, you want them
for qualifying. It is what it is.
Exactly. But they're not there for the race either.
Well,
I mean,
not there's another thing. But.
Well, it's all part and parcel, though. Back in the day, there used to be 20,000 people at Bristol to watch qualifying. There used to be.
Yeah.
There used to be 20,000 people at Daytona for qualifying or more.
Well, I was there for a lot of it.
And today, there's not that excitement about qualifying. And it's the exact same problem that they have, you know, with the championship model. They tried to make something exciting without changing the model. They just changed the game pieces around
right.
to try to make it exciting. Well, I say look at the model and fix the model as opposed to fix the format.
Okay. Yeah, and you know what? The cool part is fans, make your opinions known, whatever way.
But don't be negative.
No, don't be negative. Just make your opinions known, and then NASCAR will react. They have for everything else. We're going to hit this break. When we come back, it's going to get real busy. We're going to have J.R. Fitzpatrick on the hotline and Johnny Van Dorn real close on the hotline as well. Stay with us.
Hey, this is Matt Kenseth, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Discover a place where the sun and the tunes are shining bright.
Dance to the left.
This is Jimmy Buffett, and whether I'm traveling by land, by sea, or by air, Radio Margaritaville is my soundtrack.
Immerse yourself in a mix of Jimmy's favorite island music, commercial-free rock, reggae, folk, and live concerts to transport you to an instant warm weather vacation.
It's Radio Margaritaville.
Channel 24 and on the SiriusXM app.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hey, hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, SiriusXM Channel 20.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on SiriusXM.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio from SiriusXM.
Start your engines!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win! Woo!
It's unfiltered 24-7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Taking you all the way to the track
and back.
It's Race Time Radio.
SiriusXM 167.
Now, here's Jeff.
I can't believe we drove around all day and there's not a single job in this town. There is nothing, nada, zip.
Yeah, unless you want to work 40 hours a week.
What do you think, Junior? You want to work 40 hours a week?
I work 55 now as it is, so let's go with 40.
Okay, tell somebody that'll believe you. let's get back to the hotline, shall we? And let's bring in, how about that APC champion from 2018? I can well imagine he's got things ready to go. Let's welcome in J.R. Fitzpatrick. What's going on, kiddo?
Not too much. How are you guys?
You busy in the shop or what, J.R.?
I definitely am. I'm actually in Georgia right now because I definitely work over 55 hours a week. I don't think Joe Jr. does.
You work 55 hours, okay.
Sure you do.
How long is your lunch breaks, bud?
Shorter than yours. Okay.
Incredible. JR, how's the season shaping up? I know we're going to have Johnny Van Dorn on with us shortly here. And hopefully I've got everything hooked up where it's all going to work. We'll find out. But how are things coming together?
Really good. I mean, I was holding off as long as I felt I needed to explain or announce our plans for 2019. But we made a huge, huge change. You know, we switched manufacturers for obviously the chassis side of things and for engine side of things. You know, we're going to a Ford this year, and then we'll be racing with the Van Dorn Group for 2019 and on, and I'm just really excited. I mean, we started putting a deal together, I'm going to say, in September, so it's been a long time in the making.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Man, this is going to be different. You and a Ford, I don't know, man, that's going to be totally different.
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, I think when me and my buddies went and put the motor in, we put it in backwards because I'm pretty sure we always put the distributor to the back.
Stretch, you're holding the wrong end, bud.
Yeah. But, I mean, everything's going together really well. I mean, we built a new car, and it's a beautiful piece, and I can't wait to get out there.
So how did you get hooked up with Johnny Van Dorn Development, premier builder, definitely, in North America when it comes time for these the kind of cars that you're in?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a interesting story in a way because I was trying to – I had my car for sale basically all last year because I plan on building a new one. And, you know, it's either I continue and stay, you know, do something with McCall Enterprises, or I try and do something different, because, you know, nothing against them at all. Mike and I are great friends, and they build obviously great race cars. It's just I felt maybe I had to do something different if I wanted to try and beat them on a consistent basis. So, you know, I had three guys in mind that I tried talking to, and then my buddy DJ Casey, him and I still talk every now and then, and he told me that those Butch and Johnny are just, you know, the customer service is just incredible. Their cars are incredible. So I kind of just let that in my mind. And then when we went to, obviously, the Short Track Nationals, Johnny and Junior Hanley are buddies, and Junior and I talked. So Junior came over and told me that they're looking for somebody to have a car in Ontario, and Junior put in my name, so they had my number. So I thought that was pretty interesting, and, you know, we went through the weekend and ran well, and their stuff was obviously really fast. And then, anyway, I asked, I got Butch's number, and then I called him, and when I called him, he was within minutes about to call me. So it was pretty cool how it worked out, and everything just clicked right away. You know, they're young guys, obviously very, very good at what they do. You know, Johnny's an incredible driver, one of the best, obviously. And then his brother Butch is an amazing setup guy, shock guy. I think I'm wearing him out. I might have to pay for a few of his phone bills, because I'm wearing that poor guy out right now, trying to learn everything I can off of them.
Absolutely, and that's part of it, right? The hands-on service of a builder definitely comes in handy when you're building your platform for the year coming up. JR, we're obviously going to talk to Johnny about this very thing, but looking at the APC Tour, you know, over the last couple of years in the Pro Stock Tour, we've seen a really big influx of chassis manufacturers kind of taking a shine and trying to put their flag into the winner circle. And you know, for the longest period of time here in Ontario, there was only one or two or maybe three builders that had a large presence in the APC Tour or just conventional late model racing. Over the last couple of years, we've seen a really big influx of lots of the southern guys, like the Furies, the Van Dorns, the, you know, the Port Cities with Gary Crooks, and then as well the McCalls of the world, along with the WMIs. You know, the list goes on and on of the chassis builders that are coming in. What's that mean for you to carry that flag for a guy into the series?
I'm not going to say it puts pressure on, but, you know, you want to make sure you perform. And obviously their cars are beautiful. They look incredible. But everything that they've done makes sense. That's why, you know, I think we're going to get along so good, because they, you know, they have really interesting stuff going on. But everything just makes sense. Everything's clean. And just the way that we do things now is, it's just a simpler way to do it than, let's say, how I was doing it last year. So just from learning and feeding off them, any kind of information I can get is pretty incredible. And, you know, to go up against all these other chassis manufacturers, you know, you forgot the Shaw camp, because they're going to have, I think, three or four guys in their camp too. So, I mean, you have a lot of chassis builders in APC Tour that are probably talking to each other, relating some info. But I believe I'm going to be the only, you know, Van Dorn car. So, I look forward to the representing them the best I can, and I know for a fact we're going to be in contention for some wins, because I'm going to be testing that thing nonstop. And, you know, like, if I have to put a door mark on it before I race it, I'll run the wall at Flamborough until I get it all scuffed up.
Well, it's good. It's good for 3/10.
Well, yeah, exactly. If sunset comes, I want to be fully prepared and lots of laughs under my belt.
Well, let's see if I've wired things correctly here. Hopefully I've done a good job. Let's welcome in Johnny Van Dorn. I believe we have him up on the other line. Johnny, how are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Fantastic. At least I got this part right, John. You got J.R. Fitzpatrick going to join the development part of Van Dorn Chassis. That's great news, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. We're super excited to have him run our chassis. When we got the call last fall, last September or so, that he was interested in coming on board, you know, we're excited. You know, anytime you sell a race car or do whatever, you know, you want to want to be involved with good race car drivers, and not even race car drivers, but just great teams, you know, because it's a whole package. And when we got the call and the interest from him, my brother and I were super excited, and so far it's been a good relationship, and we look forward to getting to the track. And you know, the cool thing is, you know, I'm a driver myself, and so I feel like I have a lot of similarities to JR. He seems about as crazy as I am, so I think it'll get along good.
Yeah.
If crazy's his middle name, damn it.
JR, you're prepared to be in a Van Dorn car. When do you take delivery of that machine?
We got one at home right now, and basically we're just waiting for the snow to stop. I mean, I was getting pretty excited there for a little while, and then we got dumped on last night, so... We got another car that's actually at their shop right now, covered up and ready to go, and looking forward to hopefully doing some testing here in a few weeks. And the nice, cool thing also is Johnny and I are about the same height, so he's going to probably do the first two laps in it, and I'll jump in after.
Nice. So you're a tall guy, in other words, Mr. Van Dorn.
Yeah, and that's the other funny thing about this whole deal is, like, I'm 6'3". And JR 6'2", 6'3", and like, so when we build race cars at our shop, 95% of the time, well, 99% of the time, like, I can't fit in our customer cars. It just don't work. And JR sat in one of my seats, and he's like, dude, I need one of those seats. And so we got he's actually got the same seat that I use, and the seats are mounted the same way. So it'll be really nice to be able to go actually, you know, test the actual car that a customer will be using, and then you know, I can make a run, he can make a run, we can go back and forth, and you know, and really develop the car and work on the car and develop the setups. And so for me, you know, that's the cool part of this deal. I never really had that opportunity, you know, being so tall. Most race car drivers typically are 5'5" to, you know, 5'11". They're not tall guys like us. So That's really cool. Looking forward to that.
Absolutely. 100%. There's not too many things that we could say that Johnny Van Dorn hasn't done or hasn't been a part of in the past, but one thing is the APC Tour. Talk about a little bit of the R&D. Is there much of a learning curve for you guys on the chassis development side, looking at the APC Tour rulebook? Is there much of an undertaking for you guys to jump into this, or does it translate very well to everything else that you guys do?
There's definitely a few different things in the rule book that you know, as far as building a chassis and stuff, but they're really so minimal. As far as like the performance of the car and setup of the car goes, it's not going to be a big change. You know, we got customers from Nova Scotia to Florida to Texas to Washington. So we dabble in so many different rule books and scenarios that really isn't an issue, you know, whether it's a spec shock or, you know, whatever it may be. So as far as the APC deal goes, you know, it's a really, really awesome series from everything that we've seen. You know, they got a good following, good car counts. Sounds like the rules are, you know, they stick to the rule book really well, which is a problem in short track racing. You know, it kind of, things start getting off in left field when the tech directors don't stay on it. And it sounds like the APC guys are on it. So that's pretty good. And, you know, we hope this develops, you know, into bigger and better things down the road, so we can do more stuff with the APC series. Because, you know, like I said, it definitely seems like they have a good following. You know, you don't really see that anymore with these touring series of, you know, having, you know, 15, 20 guys that run the whole series and run for championships like they used to. You know, now it's coming down to mostly series are maybe a half a dozen guys that'll run all the races. It's more just people just kind of cherry picking type of thing. So, everything we've seen so far, it seems like a great, great series to run.
With Johnny Van Dorn tonight on Racetime Radio, also have J.R. Fitzpatrick coming through Georgia. We have him on the hotline as well. Johnny, got to ask you, I've been privileged to watch your equipment fly around in the Parts for Trucks Tour out on Canada's East Coast. You've got some amazing stuff. You've got some amazing talent. What's it like getting all the information back at the end of a weekend and then trying to put all that into perspective and really utilize all that information? What's it like collecting it all?
Well, it's definitely a lot of work. I can tell you that. You know, you got such a variety of drivers and teams, and so it isn't like it's a database of you know, all this information being computed in an engineering standpoint. You know, everybody's driving style is different. Everybody's you know, personality is different. So it's more, you know, like we help so many different people, but we individualize every scenario, you know. So like JR's program, you know, we'll develop him and his driving style and work with him and his setups and get to what he likes, you know. And then you can have a guy out in California or Washington and, on a different tire or a different driving style, you know. So you get, the big thing is just being able to adapt quickly and you know, being able to support them in any which way you can.
You know, JR, a real, real good thought. You know, with the competition in the APC series, you can't have the same as everybody else because it's the same, right? By doing what you're doing, hooking up with Johnny, you guys are definitely going to have something different than everybody else. You got to be excited, and what an idea to put all this together.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. The APC Tour really reminds me how I grew up in the old CASCAR Super Series, you know, where the competition is so tight. There's so many cars that racing every week. I mean, like, I think I've seen there's 33 cars signed up right now. As far as I know, all of them but, like, three are running full-time. So, and, you know, having a good car is obviously very important. But, you know, for us coming off a strong season, we don't want to try and change too many pieces and how everything went. Well, we're just changing the pieces that I feel we needed to improve on. And my car was a few years old and probably a little off on the technology side of things. And going with Butch and Johnny and his group, I feel like I'm ahead. I feel like I have a car that I'm going to go to a racetrack with, and I'm only a little bit away from making it, you know, not perfect. You never get a perfect race car, but yeah, to where I like it. And just like I said, everything that I've been trying to feed off of them and learn off of them, it all makes sense. That's what I like about them is they, you know, Johnny being driver and Butch's experience, they're really good at putting it into perspective, how something should be, how something should feel, and how it should work. So I really look forward to that. And like I said, the second that snow's gone, man, I'm gonna be wearing that thing out, trying to get used to that Ford. And like he said earlier, the big thing, too, is my back's all messed up. And when I sat in his seat, it just right away felt like I was at home. So everything's it's awesome. I'm really excited.
That's awesome. Now, Johnny, we got to ask the question here because, you know, you hear of teammates in NASCAR and you hear of teammates within series and stuff like that. For $75,000, are you going to lay a bumper to JR at Jucasa?
We actually were joking about that in the shop, and JR already fully said that he had no problem sending me in the fence for $75,000. I said, hey, you know, as long as one of our cars wins the race, if that's what it takes to get it done, I'll be right there in victory lane congratulating you. I don't care if I win or it's just as good for what Butch and I are doing with our business and growing our brand and our product. It actually is better if, you know, if somebody like JR wins versus that I, you know, versus me doing it. So, you know, if he's got to do a bump and run, or if he's got to, you know, stuff me in the fence, I mean, as long as he ends up in victory lane, I'm okay. Now, this is for like second or third. Now we might have an issue.
I was just going to say a little piece of advice, JR. If you happen to remember this conversation and it's the final lap at Jucasa in the Canadian Short Track Nationals, and you decide that you're going to push Johnny up to the fence and he may hit it, I'm just going to give you one little piece of advice. Keep your helmet on through the winter interview and probably until the time you leave the track, it'll be safe.
That's right.
Well, I mean, you guys know me. My helmet's always the first to come off.
Yeah, we do, JR. We know you.
That's definitely exciting, and I'm looking forward to it. Johnny, talk a little bit about it. You were there last year at the Jucasa race. It's obviously a big deal for everybody. On the late model side, are you hearing lots of buzz down south of the border of guys going to make the trip up and try to take this 75,000 back the wrong way again?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's short track racing needed a race like this and needed somebody to put up the money to try to, get the buzz and the excitement going back with short track racing. And, whether it's an American or Canadian, it really doesn't matter at this point. It's, the sport in general needs help and needs, shows like this to kind of spark a little life back in the industry. So, what this guy's doing is just fantastic. It'd be cool if some guys in the States, maybe would do something like that at a bigger, put on a bigger show like that with that kind of money. But yeah, the next 3 to 4 years with that, race growing like it's going to be, it's going to be huge. I mean, it was for the first year last year, for as quickly as it was thrown together, it already had a huge turnout and a huge following. You throw in more money like they're doing. I mean, I think I've seen it was like $3,500 just to start the race. It's like $10,000 to finish fifth or something. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, like some of these races we're doing down here, it's 100 laps for $3,000 to win, and $3,500 just to make the show. It's pretty awesome deal, So we're all, I know all the people I talk to down here are super grateful for that track and doing what they're doing, and just the track in general. It's such a awesome place, smooth as glass and first class facility. It is a real treat to go up there and race. So hopefully they continue to grow it, and I see nothing but bigger and better things for that place down the road.
And it's cool, with the Canadian Short Track Nationals at Jucasa, the APC Series, the Parts for Trucks Tour. I know they got stuff going on in Western Canada as well. When you collectively pull all this together and start seeing premier builders like Van Dorn, and you start seeing the distance stuff and Fury cars, to get all that competition on the racetrack, mix it in with the McCall stuff that we've got right here in Ontario, I'll tell you what, I don't know of a scenario that could be painted any better than what we're in for this year and for years to come here in short track racing. I believe we've turned the corner, gentlemen, and we are really, really in for a dynamite 2019. JR, this is truly great news to hear that you guys are hooked up. This is going to excite more than you, I can tell you.
Yeah, I haven't been really this excited in quite a while. Last year we went in the season just kind of not knowing what to expect because of the year we had before, but everything worked out really well, I still felt like we didn't have the fastest car every week. So this coming year, I'm really excited because, everybody always talks about getting the new bugs out of the new race cars and whatnot. But, I can guarantee you we'll have all of our stuff ready to rock and in line and ready to go after the win at Sunset.
Just so you know, I'm going to get a text here because you didn't say WMI, and I'm going to be spotting for WMI cars.
WMI.
So,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, I know that my phone's getting ready to ding here, so I got to give a shout out.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
sorry about that, WMI. And they are another builder. Johnny, got to ask you, were you at Richmond on the weekend? How did you make out if you were there?
No, we did not go to Richmond. We're getting busy in the shop trying to finish projects up from the winter, and my brother was out in Washington. He actually still out in Washington, testing with some customers. So things are going to be heating up here real soon for all of our customers and stuff. So the final hour of build season, really, up until April 1st is just kind of wide open finishing projects and crash jobs and new cars and everything else. And then once race season hits, we're busy at the track and fixing cars. So never a dull moment, but we're excited. I feel like this winter just flew by. It was like just yesterday we were up in Jucasa for the Labor Day deal. And now we're already getting ready to start 2019 across the board. yeah, looking forward to it. And, you know, and again, UCASA will be here. Labor Day will be here before you know it as well. I mean, it just seems like time's flying. So looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Well, this has been dynamite tonight. We got to thank you for your time, Johnny. We sure do appreciate it. Keep building, and I know we'll keep up to date. We'll get you back on this show as we get ready to fire off Jukasa and many, many more. We sure do appreciate your time tonight, bud.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on the show, and anytime. Look forward to it, guys. Have a good night.
You want to believe it. That's Johnny Van Dorn, JR. What a guy you're hooked up with. That's good news, buddy.
Yeah, like I said, I'm excited. You know, both of them, Johnny and Butch, have been so good to me, and you know, we're committed to them. That's what I told, you know, Butch when I had my first meeting with him, is, you know, I'm the kind of guy that if I'm going to do something, I'm all in. And I can tell you that I felt that, you know, they gave me 100% of everything they got, you know, so I feel like they're all in with me. That's why I feel like we're going to be a strong team together, because at the end of the day, we're both after the same thing, and that's checkered flag. So, but, you know, in saying that, APC is so tough right now. You know, there's a lot of guys that are in the same boat as I am. So, you know, it all sounds great and dreamy, but when we get to that racetrack, man, it's going to be 100% head down and hard at work. So I'm looking forward to all the new guys coming in the tour and the really strong rookies coming up, and some guys coming back. You know, Dale Shaw's coming back, so a previous champion, and man, I'm telling you, APC Tour is looking fantastic for this year.
How's the crew shaping up? Who have you got on top of the box? What do you got happening there, JR?
Thankfully enough, I've had the same group, you know, for the last, you know, since I ran Oscar. So I got Chris and Sean, Paul Baker, Steven's going to do some spotting for me, Dennis Thompson's going to do some spotting for me, Bob Wise, Ted McAllister. I just got so many good people, and you know, my dad will be roaming around barking orders at us, I'm sure. And obviously my wife Laura and Emily, they'll be there, my father-in-law, and then his son Cole. So we have a great group, and you know, we always try to make sure we're still having fun, because, you know, at the end of the day, that's why we're doing it. It's supposed to be, you know, supposed to be fun.
Well, can't wait for this snow to get out of here, and I know it's going to. We'll be watching your Twitter and your Facebook for some of that practice times, and can't wait to see you in that new ride, JR.
Yeah, thanks, and thanks for having me on, and lots of racing for me this year, because I can't forget I'm also racing Sauble Speedway full-time with Tim Ellis and his group, so really looking forward to this year.
Incredible. JR, thanks for the time. Safe travels, my friend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You bet. J.R. Fitzpatrick. Man, that's big news, Joe.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely big news, and big news for the tour. You know, it seems like yesterday we were talking about this last year and about the Parts for Trucks tour, you know, with all the influx of new chassis. And Johnny was part of that conversation last year, right,
yeah,
with Dylan
sure
Blackhorn.
Was.
And, you know, of course, Gary Crooks and the Port City contingent, along with the Fury aspect. Well, newsflash, all three of those guys are here in the APC. Tour now as well.
That's right.
And you know, plus the addition, and I know I shot out the WMI
right
comment there, but that is another contingent, right? It's
sure
part
it
with DJK, and you know, it for the longest time here in Ontario, it was dominated by only two or three builders, and really dominated by one, and it was McCall. Competition is everything, and you know, as the APC series grows, that competition level continually steps up, and you know, they take notice down south. They want to be a part of it.
Well, there's a guy that is definitely ready for the season. He raced this weekend at Richmond. He's all the way from Alberta, lives in Nova Scotia, and he's going to join us on the other side of this final break of the night. We have Kyle Reed going to join us, driver the number 42, finished up 7th at Richmond on the weekend, and he's going to join us on the other side of the break. Stay there.
Hey, Dirt Race fans, this is Kirk Hooker, driver of the 38 Dirt Late Model. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Men, Morning Men.
Hi, I'm Evan Cohen, and I'm Mike Babchak. We were given 30 seconds to describe our show, Morning Men, on Mad Dog Sports Radio, so I'll ask you some questions, and you give me the answers. What do we do for fun?
You go to the diner with your family. Me? I drink and forget I have a family.
Biggest crush?
You, Tom Brady.
Me?
Anyone in yoga pants.
What do we want to do more of?
You, talk about what happened the night before in the world of sports.
Me?
I would like to do more of my wife. I think we just ran out of time.
Morning Men, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Sirius XM 82, and the Sirius XM app.
New to Sirius XM, it's Faction Talk.
Whoa, cut it out.
Lucky us, what a time to be alive.
Mornings with Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
I get tweets every day about how terrible my co-host is, but I don't listen to him.
Absolutely, because I'm the one sending them.
That's Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
Hot takes on hot topics.
That's right, no sloughing off on this radio show.
Live Monday through Friday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, only on Faction Talk, Sirius XM 103. Or listen on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
More Short Track Live, coast to coast, next.
Only on Racetime Radio.
What can I do for you?
My name is Elizabeth Cook. I have a show called Apron Strings over in Outlaw Country.
Okay.
Playing a lot of old outlaw country music, cool. A lot of new outlaw country music. Cool. We talk about all kinds of important things, like how to get gum out of the pillowcase.
Shoot, I don't...
Where do Venus flytraps come from? Do you need a chakra cleanse?
A what?
This is your formal invitation to listen to me, Elizabeth Cook, 10 to 2 p.m. weekdays on Outlaw Country. It's channel 60 and streaming on the new and improved Sirius XM app.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door-to-door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
There we go, Ked bringing us back for that final break. Man, oh man, is this 2 hours flown on by. Let's get back to the hotline, and let's welcome in a driver that is definitely set for 2019. He's already got laps on and successful ones at Richmond this past weekend. He comes to us all the way from Fort Mac, Alberta, with a little bit of Nova Scotia thrown in there for fun. Let's welcome in Kyle Reed. What's going on, Kyle? How you doing, buddy?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Man, good for you this weekend, brother. You went out there, had that 42 just a rocking. How did that go?
It was good. It was good. We actually ran the crate class down there, which was a 75-lapper at Richmond, and we ran the open as well.
So. Yeah, good stuff. Man, oh, man, that car looked great. I seen it in a Facebook video clip, but the car looks fantastic.
Yeah, that's actually, that's a new car to us. It's not even my car. It was a Harrison Burton car that, actually friends of ours from Fort McMurray have a company, Kyle and Ashley Marshall, and, they bought it. Big fans and really enjoyed it. They've been coming around the last couple of years, and actually that's going to be a car that my brother Chris Reed is going to run this year. So we had to go down and get it and another car, so we decided we'd make a trip of it, and Richmond was pretty close to being happening, so we lined it up, and it came with a super motor. So we sent a crate down, and Jeff Foltz was pretty good. He got it switched around for us and did a lot of work to it, and so we took it to Richmond and tried it out.
That's definitely cool. What was the speed like? That's got to be the biggest track that you've been on in racing conditions for sure, right?
Yeah, it actually running Jakarta last year really kind of helped that, because it reminded me a lot of I took a lot from Jakarta there. Definitely the first five laps were dicey for sure, and I mean especially the first five laps of the year.
Yeah.
But once you get into the groove there and everything starts to, as the days go on, it starts to slow down and everything gets easier. So yeah, it was about it. Like I say, a beautiful facility and a really cool deal to get to run the track like that.
Talking a little bit about the off season by the sounds of it, you and your brother got a chance to take in the grip seminar down there. A buddy of mine, Andrew Grizel, was in that grip seminar as well. And I believe that it was you and your brother down there. You were the other Canadians in the room, right?
Yeah, there was actually four of us went down. There was Chris and I and two of our buddies and crew guys, Curtis Lindsay and Doug Critch. So the four of us went down and Chris has been doing this for a long time, but I've only got 4 or 5 years of real racing experience, and only this would be our third year, I think, with the late model or the pro stock. So we're definitely learning very fast as we go, and especially me. The grip seminar, first time we were ever there, and it's one of them things where I'd probably go back maybe every second year just to, kind of stay updated, but it was definitely beneficial for me. If anyone was thinking about taking it, it's well worth the money, for sure.
By the sounds of it, you had one of the busiest off seasons of anybody that's going to race on the East Coast. That's definitely pretty cool. Looking at your season last year versus what you're heading into, it sounds like you guys have built the artillery up a little bit more and picked up some really cool equipment. What's success look like in 2019?
We're extremely optimistic that we're going to have, more success, experience. I feel that experience hurt us last year. We were in some really good races and we went to the Oxford 250 and we struggled. I struggled for 3 days down there trying to get my head around the track and finally figure it out. And in the last chance race, and only for the fact that we were pre-qualified, we would never made the show. And I think we started like 37th or 38th, and 60 laps in or 70 laps in, we were in the top 10. So I mean, them Fury cars. I know the ones that we have there. I don't, experience-wise, sometimes I don't have the fire-off speed as some of these guys that have the experience for it, but I can run pretty consistent, and they don't change. They don't, they don't have the fall-off that some others do, and a lot of these guys backed up to us 30, 40 laps into it, and we were just able to drive by them. So I got myself in a jam late in the race and got turned, and a lot of that's my own fault, and so, I mean, stuff like that. I'm hoping to better that situation for sure.
Well, Kyle, you guys are quick learners. You especially, man. I think back to last year, the 42 really hit the map, I'll tell you. You and Chris, really, the both of you have really come a long way in a short period of time. I can only imagine what 2019 is going to look like. How many Pro Stock Tour races are you going to hit, and will you be back to Jukasa?
Definitely going to be back to Jukasa for sure. We're going to do probably half a dozen between him and I. We're both going to run some of them together, and he's going to run a few more, I think. Probably concentrate Anakinish definitely, and maybe some stuff at Scotia and perhaps Petty as well. But right now, kind of focusing on the obviously the IWK is our big race there, and the June race in Anakin-ish. Jakarta, I love that place. It's an absolute wonderful facility. I can't say enough about them guys and Alex, and you know, they're just very accommodating, and that's going to be a great event if they keep going the way they're going. So and good guys up there too. Good guys to race with. I mean, we went up there last year and we raced Oxford the week before, so we got a hold of JR and needed a spot to, you know, change the car around, and they were great people. Him and his father, John, accommodated us and gave us a bay in the shop for basically a week, and, you know, couldn't do enough for you, and just great people.
Unreal. Good stuff. Man, this has been great catching up with you tonight. I know we're getting short on time here. Show's just about wrapped up. Amazing how fast time goes. I know it goes fast for you guys in a race car too, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Turns around and it's gone before you know it. But Richmond, really good experience for you. You're going to be able to take that, learn from it, and carry on this year. This is going to be cool.
Yeah, no, I think it was great experience. Even in we didn't have the motor that some of them guys had. It kind of hurt us a bit, but it was great experience and in both classes too. Because even in the we finished 11th in the open race, which we worked on the car all night, and it was good. And we had some good guys down there. My brother Curtis, Doug, a whole bunch of guys from home, and Andrew Hicken from King, he was down with us. He's definitely a crackerjack when it comes to that stuff, and he has a real good program. So,
fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. That's what you want to be. You're surrounded by good people. You got to learn fast, and, man, you guys are doing it. I look forward to catching you. Definitely in Scotia for sure at Riverside, and we sure appreciate your time tonight on a busy weekend on your way home.
Yeah, no, for sure. We're actually in Toronto here now. We're just waiting for a flight, so.
Good stuff. You make sure you say hi to Chris and everybody out there. I know they're all faithful listeners of Racetime Radio, and we sure do appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
You bet. That is Kyle Reed. I'll tell you what, that guy, when I say fast learner, you got to see him on the racetrack. First time I seen these guys, sportsman race at Riverside, the two of them, the two brothers, Chris and Kyle, from the back to the front in no time flat. Beautiful equipment, and they can go.
Absolutely. And that shows that those guys are definitely growing within the sport. You know, showing up to a race like Richmond and coming home in the top 15 is absolutely amazing numbers. And how much time do we got?
We're basically done. 30 seconds.
All right. So I wanted to give just a quick rundown of the guys who have registered. Obviously, we've talked about a lot of them for the Jocasta race. But just while we're on topic, the 71, of course, Johnny Van Dorn. You've got both Chris and Kyle Reed. You've also got Matt Shirley, who's registered from the eastern side or from the western side. You've got Derek Lynch. You got J.R. Fitzpatrick, DJ Kennington, Austin McDonald. You've got Gary Adrianson as well. Taylor Holdaway from here in Ontario, Jason Hathaway, and Patrick Friel. So, man, just a wicked looking lineup so far. And there's
Trevor
still
Eamon,
months to
add
go.
Him to
Trevor
it.
Eamond as well. Yeah. Cassius Clark just a stacked field so far, along with Dwayne Baker.
Yeah, one other guy that I was actually in contact with today from down in the U.S., big name down there, he's coming. I'm not going to say who it is. I'll wait till he's announced, but trust me when I say, we got another Thunder coming in to mix into this mix. It's going to be off the rails, I can guarantee it. But that's going to do it for you and I tonight here in the Racetime Radio studio. Got to thank Susie Q here for hooking us all up. And how about that? Johnny and JR on the air at the same time with us. That's cool.
That is.
Got to thank everybody back in Toronto. And, of course, got to thank you for tuning into Racetime Radio. We're nothing without you. Don't forget to sign up for MAV TV. And don't forget to join us back here next week here on Racetime Radio. We'll have another whopper of a night lined up for you. If they're making news, they're going to be on Racetime Radio. It happens next Sunday, right here. We'll catch you soon. Have a good, safe week, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.